Let's take our Bibles and look in Jeremiah chapter 27 for our scripture reading and commentary as we continue through the prophet Jeremiah. Words the Lord gave him to preach in his day apply very much in our day. And in this particular chapter, in Jeremiah chapter 27, once again we have Jeremiah prophesying what should soon come to pass with the Lord raising up Nebuchadnezzar and bringing the children of Judah into captivity for those 70 years that he prophesied. It says here, in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word unto Jeremiah from the Lord. Now, as you read on down through here, in verse 3, it mentions Zedekiah, king of Judah. And so there are some, when they read this, they'll immediately say, well, this was a scribal error that was imposed on the text later, because when this prophecy was delivered, you can see there in verse 3, there were messengers which came to Jerusalem from these various kings round about. And it says, came to Zedekiah, king of Judah. Well, Zedekiah was after Jehoiakim. In fact, he was the last of the kings before Nebuchadnezzar took him into captivity and destroyed Jerusalem. But there's no error with the Lord. And so while many will run quickly to that and say, well, this was scribal error, can you imagine that we have here the word of God put this in the wrong place? We got to read things in their context. It was in the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came to Jeremiah. So even before Jehoiakim died and before Zedekiah took his place, the Lord had already given his word during the reign of Jehoiakim. But it was preserved and kept until this time. That's the way that we need to read this. Thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes and put them upon thy neck, and send them to the king of Edom, and to the king of Moab, and to the king of the Ammonites, and to the king of Tyrus, and to the king of Zidon, by the hand of the messengers which came to Jerusalem unto Zedekiah, king of Judah. So Jeremiah didn't actually go to these various kings, but they had sent messengers down to Zedekiah, and this was the message then that Jeremiah was to deliver back to these kings. And you can see the message was one of bonds and yokes. See that in verse 2? God used, as he did some other prophets, visual aids. Talk about a visual aid in this prophetic work. And so he was to take bonds. These were leather straps that were used to secure yokes on oxen's. And so a yoke was made of wood, and it went under and above the neck of a large animal. The purpose was to plow with that animal. So here the Lord is making it plain that he was to take and put together this yoke, bind it with these leather thongs, And interestingly enough, as you read on in Jeremiah chapter 28, it shows us that Jeremiah actually was wearing this yoke. In verse 1, Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and broke it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Here was a false prophet. Jeremiah was prophesying that they would go into captivity and it would be for a long time, 70 years. But here was this other that took the yoke off of Jeremiah's neck and broke it and started falsely claiming that within 2 years, that's all it would be, they would be delivered. We have to contend with the same sorts of false prophets and preachers today who prefer not to believe God's word, always looking for an out when it comes to condemnation. It's like hell. There are people today that want to preach that somehow hell is for a time. Call it purgatory, whatever. And then somehow, after a while, even those that go to hell will be brought out. Well, Scripture says it's forever. I know people find that hard to believe because they think, well, what kind of God would cast souls into hell forever but just God, the sovereign God, holy God? So here, these envoys were being sent from these other wicked kings. Every one of these named here in our text, in verse 3, these were enemies of Israel. And so the message that Jeremiah had to declare to Judah, which was one of condemnation, the same applied to these others. So the Lord strengthened him to declare even to these envoys, people from other nations, the word of the Lord. Verse 10, that we're going to get to, they prophesy a lie unto you. These people trying to pacify, these preachers trying to pacify the people, saying, it's not going to be that bad. Just hang in there with some patience. We'll get through this. And he says, to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out should perish. This was true not only of the children of Judah, but also to these envoys. So verses 4 through 8, it says, and command them to say unto their masters, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say unto your masters, I have made the earth. See, these were pagan kings that worship their own gods. And here the Lord through Jeremiah says, I have made the earth, the man and the beasts that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, I have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. Remember, that's the definition of God's sovereignty, a sovereign God. He does what he will, where he will, when he will, whom he will, how he will, why he will. But add that to it. He doesn't have to answer any man. He says, and now have I given all these lands, not just Judah, but even these other surrounding nations, I have given in the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant. He wasn't God's servant for the fact that somehow he knew God, but he was God's servant to exercise God's will in the condemnation of these nations. And the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all the nations shall serve him, and his son, and his son's son, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations, great kings, shall serve him. Themselves of him. When it speaks here of his son and his son's son, this was all fulfilled. First of all, Nebuchadnezzar And then his son, that we studied already in the Kings, evil Merodach, and then his son's son, which was Belshazzar. We studied him in Daniel 5. He was the lineage of Nebuchadnezzar when God raised up the Medes and the Persians, bringing the men to bring down the Babylonian nation. All this was literally fulfilled. It's described here. And this well before it took place. So this shows again that this was the word of the Lord through Jeremiah. And it shall come to pass, verse 8, that the nation and kingdom which shall not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword, with famine, with pestilence, until I have consumed them by his hand. What the Lord's saying is here, if you get your back up and think somehow by your supposed will, you're going to undo what I purposed. It's like when they lock somebody up and put handcuffs on. Well, the more you move around, the tighter those handcuffs get around your hands. That's going to hurt. Here, even more so, he says, until I have consumed them by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. So there's not a person that can resist God in this or say unto him, what doest thou? That in resisting, the end will be worse than if they had simply submitted to him. And so Jeremiah here is warning these kings that are mentioned here in verse 3, they were accustomed to fighting, going to battle. The Lord's saying, you'll not win this one. Again, in Jeremiah's day, there were false prophets. They're the ones described here in verses 9 through 11. Therefore, hearken not ye to your prophets, notice to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. Peace when there is no peace. For they prophesy a lie unto you to remove you far from your land, and that I should drive you out, and ye should perish. That's a strong word. Be utterly destroyed. But the nations that bring their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, the Lord's telling them here, when he comes through, don't try to resist him. Because God's purpose to bring all of these nations into servitude, those will I let remain in their own land, saith the Lord. And they shall till it and shall dwell therein. They would be under Nebuchadnezzar's dominion, but they wouldn't perish. They would stay in that land and continue to till it. Here we have the description of these false prophets. And I would say the same thing could be said today of those that are not exalting Christ, preaching this word. They're nothing more than diviners, dreamers, enchanters, and sorcerers. You say, well, that's pretty strong. Well, it is. That's the language that the Lord uses. A diviner is somebody that prognosticates. People that guess at future events. Dreamers. They're the ones who simply dream about what will be. And there are many dreamers today. You can fill a whole stadium of these false prophets talking about times and seasons. They're dreamers. They're not preaching according to this word, taking scriptures out of context. Soothsayers. Those are actually what they call cloud mongers. In other words, as Jude describes them, they're empty clouds, soothsayers. That's the term that's used there. And then sorcerers, those that had incantations and spells, pretended to have some understanding of the mysteries. But as we know, in a time of national crisis, there are many religious fakers. We have in our day people standing up and preaching false word as if they had a word from the Lord, but they don't. And the word to these was that the Lord would bring these nations under the yoke of Babylon. And so here's the message that was given to Zedekiah, verses 12 through 15. Again, remember in verse 1, during the reign of Jehoiakim, before Zedekiah was established as king, the Lord had already revealed this to Jeremiah. Now, he's delivering this message to Zedekiah. I spake also to Zedekiah, king of Judah, according to all these words, saying, bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people. Why will ye die, thou and thy people, by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, as the Lord has spoken against that the nation that will not serve the king of Babylon? Therefore hearken not unto the words of the prophets that speak unto you, in other words, the false prophets, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie unto you. The thing is, people would rather believe a lie than the truth. It's always that way. They can't see many times the lie of what's being propagated, given a false hope, a false assurance. That's all a lie does. Paul, writing to Thessalonians, said the time would come when God would send strong delusion that people might believe a lie. I'll tell you, God sends strong delusion to believe a lie, you'll never believe the truth. But he says, I have not sent them, saith the Lord, yet they prophesy a lie. Notice, in my name. That's what makes people think, well, he's preaching in Christ's name. But what did Christ say there in Matthew 7? Many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And I will say unto them, I never knew you. Yet they prophesy a lie in my name, that I might drive you out, and that he might perish, ye and the prophets that prophesy unto you. The Lord had already purposed their destruction. And therefore, left to themselves, they believed the lie, and therefore, God did exactly what he said he would do, drive them out. That's the message that was given to King Zedekiah. But also in verse 16 and 17, there's a word here not only about the false prophets, but about the temple vessels. Also, I spake to the priests and to all this people, saying, thus saith the Lord, hearken not to the words of your prophets that prophesy unto you, saying, behold, the vessels of the Lord's house shall now shortly be brought again from Babylon. There were three invasions into Judah by Nebuchadnezzar. The first had already occurred, whereby he took the vessels from the temple already up to Babylon. And so not only were these prophesying falsely that within 2 years, as we saw already, all this would be coming back, so would be the vessels. So don't lose hope. That was the message that was being propagated. But it says here, for they prophesied a lie unto you. Hearken not unto them, serve the king of Babylon, and live. Wherefore should this city be laid waste? Well, that's where Nebuchadnezzar finally came down that third time and destroyed the city and the temple, because those that had followed the false prophets were being told they just fought. More like people today, well, we'll just humble ourselves and pray that God's going to deliver. That's not how he purposed that scripture. It says, if they be prophets, verse 18, and if the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and in Jerusalem go not to Babylon. Some had already been taken. So if you want to prove that these are really God's prophets, let's see what happens next. Because he took some of these with him when he first came down, but if he doesn't take all of them the next time, then you'll know that these are true prophets. Well, they weren't. And they were proven to be false. That's why the scriptures say to prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Test the spirits is what John said, whether these things be so. There was not one vessel left in that house when God ultimately brought destruction of the temple. In verses 19 down to the end of the chapter, then, for thus saith the Lord of hosts concerning the pillars, concerning the sea, these are all the different furniture and temple instruments that there were. The pillars before the entering in, pillars of bronze, and the sea, that was the laver, and concerning the bases and concerning the residue of the vessels that remain in this city, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took not when he carried away captive Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from Jerusalem to Babylon, and all the nobles of Judah and Jerusalem. Talk about that first and second invasion. He thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, concerning the vessels that remain in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and of Jerusalem, they shall be carried to Babylon. There shall they be until the day I visit them. It's amazing how the Lord declared it. Not only would these would be taken to Babylon, but they would be preserved there in Babylon. Just like Moses was raised in Pharaoh's household, preserved until such time as God was pleased to reveal him to Israel. Here so the vessels, thus saith the Lord. Then, he says, will I bring them up and restore them to this place. But not only the taking, but the restoring. All of these would be according to God's purpose. And it's interesting, there's no mention made here of the Ark of the Covenant in these particular vessels. Some think that it had already been carried away, maybe by Nebuchadnezzar in one of his earlier invasions of Jerusalem with those other temple treasures. You read about that in 2 Chronicles 26:7. Jews, their legend is that Jeremiah hid the Ark of the Covenant. That's where the Raiders of the Lost Ark came from. The movie. The people speculate as to what took place. There's even some that say that when John the Apostle was taken into heaven, he took it with him. You can see all of these various wives' tales happening. But for whatever purpose, it's not mentioned here, but we do know in reading in Ezra that we're studying that the Lord would restore not only the temple of Jerusalem, as he said he would, but bring back the vessels that were carried away, that that temple worship might continue, such as the God we worship. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word, how precious it is to read it with some clarity, understanding how all these things unfolded in your time and history. And that because of this, you're a trustworthy God. And that as we read these scriptures, we know they are true and they are so. And the same God that you are, who has acted in the past, is the God who reigns even now and will indeed act according to his will, your will in the future. So we thank you and ask that as we continue our time of worship, truly you would be glorified through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we sing praises and read your word, give all the praise, honor, and glory in Christ's precious name. Amen.